Thank you. This is the meeting of the PNB Election Committee on June 29, 2012. I'm Bob Lederer, the chair, and Nia Bediako has agreed to help out by calling the roll. Nia?
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, I'm calling the roll for Secretary Jane Gatewood. Ken Aaron?
Here.
Ivan Alsame? Teresa Allen, Wesley Bethune. Wesley's on mute, I think. Wesley, Carolyn Burden,
here.
Fred Blair, Lydia Brazon,
here.
Anthony Fest,
here.
Sasha Futron. Jane Gatewood, our secretary. Revelyn Gold. Bob Lederer.
Here.
Michael Novick.
Here.
Thomas Porter. Tracy Rosenberg.
Be right back.
Manije Saba. Nancy Saibara. Naritomi?
Present.
Okay. And I heard Wesley, who was muted.
Stop.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Chair, you have quorum.
Okay.
And my duties are over.
Right. Thanks, Nia. Although Nia has also...
For the vote count, okay.
Right. But Nia has also agreed to keep time. So, Jane Gatewood is unable to stay for the whole meeting, so Michael Novick has very kindly volunteered to be secretary. Is there any objection to Michael being pro tem secretary? Okay, hearing none, he will do that role tonight. And let's now discuss the draft agenda that I put out on the listserv earlier. I'll read it for everyone and for the stream. After the agenda approval, we'll have announcement of the next committee meeting date for 2 minutes, then report from the National Election Supervisor, Terry Barishas, on the status of election preparation. That would be 20 minutes. Item five would be update from PNB members on PNB decisions made last night for 5 minutes. Number six, electronic voting, a motion referred from the PNB. That would be 40 minutes. And also, Jane Gatewood has proposed a supplementary motion concerning an online voter survey. I'm proposing that all be counted under the 40 minutes. Then number seven would be cost-cutting and fundraising proposals from the working group of this committee. A, the motion approved by this committee on June 5th and referred back from the PNB last night for 15 minutes. That's the one about opt-in versus opt-out for the candidate statements. B would be cost-cutting proposals that we didn't get to at the June 5th meeting, and there are several of those. Well, I don't think I'll list them right this minute unless someone wants me to. We can get to them when we get to them, but they would be basically, let's see. Well, yeah, there's times attached, so I'll specify them. The first one would be about candidate recruitment carts, and some related issues about the PNB's election policy. So that would be 20 minutes on that item. Then using press releases and other methods to increase voter participation. That would be 5 minutes. Then encourage LESs to use volunteers, 10 minutes. Then encourage LESs to make cost-cutting suggestions, 5 minutes. And encouraging anyone to have suggestions for 5 minutes. And then fundraising, first would be including a fundraising appeal with the ballot, 5 minutes, and an election-specific donation cup on the Pacifica website, 5 minutes. Number eight, three issues raised by our National Election Supervisor where he asked for committee input. A would be whether to have business reply envelopes with the ballot. 10 minutes. B, whether to have an inner secrecy envelope for 10 minutes, and C would be the location of ballot tabulation, and that would be 15 minutes. And then number 9 would be proposals.
Teresa on the line.
Hi, Teresa. Then number 9 would be proposals circulated today by committee member Ken Aaron, and these are the only two that are not already contained in the items just mentioned. Number A would be electronic voting versus hand-counted paper ballots, methods to mediate against inaccuracy and fraud for 15 minutes. B would be how to prevent lawsuits via a paragraph in the election materials concerning mediation. That would be 20 minutes. And then number 10 would be a proposal circulated earlier by committee member Nancy Saibara Naratomi regarding added requirements to run for the LSB, and I would propose 10 minutes for that. So are there any amendments? Oh, I'm sorry, an adjournment at 11 p.m. Eastern time. So
sure.
Just a little bit more than 2 hours from now. So the floor is open for any amendments.
This is Ken. I would like to flip my items on 9. And discuss the material on mediation before methods of mitigating against inaccuracy. So I
okay.
Want to switch A and B.
Okay. Any comments?
Hi, this is Andrea. I'm sorry to be running late.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so any comments on Ken's amendment to switch the order of 9A and B?
I'm not able to find those. Can you tell me what time they went out, please?
What time this agenda went out? Is that your question?
Oh, no, Ken's motion's on the agenda.
Ken, what time did you post them?
I'm looking right now.
I got them 1:23 p.m.
Yes, that's right.
That's Pacific time,
well, I
right?
Pinned it at a 1:24 p.m.
Pacific time.
Okay, got it. Thank you. Got it.
Okay,
sorry.
Was that Lydia who wanted to speak?
Yeah, this is Lydia. I believe it would be that the portion on mediation would be out of order in this meeting. I think it's a matter for the PNB to take up on all legal matters, and the attorney would have to be, our corporate counsel would have to be present, so it's not an election-specific item.
Okay, that's included in my statement. It's all included in my statement, and everything.
I saw the statement. Hold on.
I object to removing it from the agenda.
Okay, that's it.
Okay, so Lydia, is that something you'll raise when we get to it, or are you raising it now as a point of order?
No, I'm saying it shouldn't be on the agenda.
Okay, so you're raising it as a point of order that it should be stricken.
It's a point of order. That's right.
Okay, so
not his whole thing, just the mediation portion. The rest of it, I actually agree with.
All right. Does anyone else, before I rule on whether this should be stricken, does anyone else have an opinion one way or the other?
Well, okay, I'd like to talk about it against her motion to remove it.
Sure, but only. But don't get into the merits of your proposal.
No,
just
no absolutely why not.
It's,
absolutely
why it's within
not.
The bylaws for us to consider it as a committee.
I
Go
understand
ahead,
that. Thank
Go
you.
Go ahead.
First of all, it is preemptive to remove something from the agenda without hearing what it is, just on the basis of how it's listed. There's nothing wrong with discussing an item to present to the PNB because we certainly don't have the authority to make decisions. That anything we do is just a recommendation to the PNB. So to say that this is PNB business, that's true of anything, any motions we pass. So that's an inappropriate reason to strike something from the agenda. And without getting into the discussion, all the concerns mentioned are addressed in the motion.
Okay. Anyone else on the point of order?
Carolyn here.
Go ahead.
I think that it's appropriate to introduce motions to the agenda and then argue them when they come up. I don't think you can keep something off if a member proposes it in motion form. Ken, your solution paragraph, does that mean, is that a motion that wording be adopted? Are you presenting that as
yes,
a motion?
Yes, that would be the motion.
Okay,
that
then I think
similar.
It belonged properly on the, and we could certainly argue against it, which I probably will. when it comes up, but I do think it should not be kept off the agenda until we have a chance to discuss it. And this is not the time for that. So I'm for including everything on the agenda that a member in good faith puts up.
Okay. Anyone else on this? If not, then I think I'm going to rule that for now I don't see the case for that it being out of order from this committee. Maybe when the actual motion is fleshed out more and discussed, it might become clearer to me, but right now it's not apparent. So I'm ruling that for the time being it's not out of order, but that can be reopened when we actually get to the item on the agenda. Okay. Is there any other amendment to the agenda? Hearing none, then is there any objection to the agenda? I'm sorry, I forgot to ask for Ken's proposal to flip the order of A and B. Is there any objection to flipping the order?
I'm sorry, what is A and what is B? It's not clear.
Okay, A is currently electronic voting versus hand-counted paper ballots, and B is how to prevent lawsuits by a paragraph in election materials on mediation.
No objection here.
Okay. Any objection? Okay. Hearing none, then those two are inverted. Okay. And is there any objection now on the adopting the amended agenda? Okay. Hearing none, then it's adopted. And let's go to the first item, which is the announcement of the next committee meeting date. This is as we voted on June 19th. We will be meeting on Tuesday, July 17th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Be thinking at that time about what date you want to propose for the August meeting, but we don't have to do that tonight. Okay, so
Bob,
next.
This is Heather Gray. I just wanted folks to know that I'm just on this because being an affiliate director, I just decided I really needed to learn about the elections at Pacifica, so I just want people to know I'm here, so thank you.
Okay, thank you, Heather. Okay, the next item is the report from the National Election Supervisor on the status of election preparation. Terry, the floor is yours.
All right.
20 minutes, Nia.
Okay. I should be able to do it less than that unless there's a lot of questions. We've put ads up from Craigslist for local election supervisors, and there are notices, I believe, on all five station websites and the Pacifica website about the job opening, and carts have been recorded, I believe, at every station. There might be one that hasn't put them on air yet, but there should be carts in rotation announcing that there is a local election supervisor position to bring people to their website. At least one of the websites, it was the announcement on the homepage was so hard to find, I looked for a full minute and I didn't see it. So hopefully that's been fixed now. Most of the responses we're getting, someone's got a lot of noise on their phone. Oh, well.
Could everyone please mute their phone?
Okay. Most of the responses we've gotten have been as a result of the Craigslist ad, obviously, because that went up first. We've got a total of 78 applications for the five stations, 10 for WBAI, 15 for KPFA, 26 for KPFK, 17 for KPFT, and 10 for WPFW. Of those, it's a large number of applications. They're of people who I am certain I want to interview. There are some that are still in the category of possibly wanting to interview them. But the people I'm sure I want to interview, there's only one at WBAI, only two at KPFA, six at KPFK, three at KPFT, and only one at WPFW. So, and there's no guarantee that these people who I think I want to interview would accept the job if offered, because they might get another job in the meantime or decide it's not worth the money or whatever. So we need more applicants, because a lot of people who are applying are well-intentioned, good people who might be able to do the job, but haven't proven that they can, haven't demonstrated from past work that they could do the job. We have, Arlene and I have made the selection of the vendor. It is going to be Election Services Corporation. They've been notified, and Two Ballot has been notified, that they are not being selected. The we have a draft contract from them, and it's not signed yet. We're still working out the details. Obviously, we can't actually sign the contract until we know exactly what the election is going to entail, whether it will or will not have online voting options, et cetera, et cetera. They've given us a couple of spreadsheets of costs and how it might break down with or without internet voting, with or without business return mail, et cetera. And I don't think this committee needs to get into the cost, but one point which is worth the committee knowing is while there is a cost to setting up the internet voting, if we were to use business reply envelopes so that people don't have to put on their own stamp to return the ballot, and I should note on that their experience at Election Services Corporation is that providing a business return envelope significantly increases voter return. A lot of people simply don't have a stamp handy, don't bother, don't think it's worth it, whatever. And so he says that you usually get at least a 2-3% return rate improvement, and that could make a difference between quorum or not. However, he said if you have also a hybrid election where people have the option, they receive the paper ballot, but they have the option of voting online instead, enough of them go and vote online that the extra cost of providing online voting is mostly counterbalanced by the reduced return postage cost of the business return mail. Business return mail, you only pay for the number of envelopes actually mailed back, right? So someone needs to mute their phone. This is really bugging me. Is everybody muted? All right,
turn
somebody's...
on your speaker phones, people.
Yeah, maybe it's speaker phones. I don't know. Anyway, so the next point of that is if we did what's called a hybrid election where you mail them the paper ballot and then they have the option of mailing it back in a business reply envelope or going online and voting online versus mailing them the paper ballot with a business return envelope and they only have the option of mailing back the ballot, there's only about a $1,000 difference between those two scenarios because of the saved postage of the people who tend to go online. So whether you use the internet voting or not should not be considered a cost issue. It's if you do it that way. There's a whole other dynamic of ways of doing online voting, such as the idea of not mailing them a paper ballot at all, but mailing them a postcard, which saves you obviously a lot of postage, saying if you want a paper ballot, return this, and if you want to vote online, go here. The problem is you'd have to mail that twice. You'd have to mail it once well before the ballot deadline, but you'd have to mail it again when voting is open because we cannot have people have access to the online voting before we're ready to mail out the paper ballots. So if you did it that way, this might be too confusing for people to absorb, you would have to send out two postcards a few weeks apart to everybody if you wanted to give them the option of voting online without receiving a paper ballot in the mail at all. I can explain that more thoroughly if people really need to, but I'll let that sit for now. Maybe people understood that. I think that's it for my report for where we're at. I have communicated with a few of the applicants for the local election supervisors, people who I thought were really excellent, to let them know that I would be closing the application period in about a week. At that point, that is unless some station I simply don't have enough qualified applicants. At that point, I'll be scheduling interviews with the people. I guess that's it for my report.
Okay, thank you, Terry. Before we get to Stack, I just want to suggest that we have a lengthy item on the agenda about electronic voting, so my strong suggestion is that everyone hold their questions and comments about Terry's remarks about different options, how to do it, and so forth until a little bit later. I think it would be a more orderly way to consider it in the context of a motion rather than just reacting to what he said, you know, in isolation. I think it would be good if people could start with the question of how to solicit more, how to obtain more applicants for the LES. And
this is Lydia.
Yeah, so... So I heard Ken and then Lydia and then myself. So Ken first, unless it's
okay,
about electronic
voting. Okay, yeah, Terry, regarding recruiting LES members, But I understand that they cannot be related to anybody working at the station or on the board, but could we promote it to friends or past people or past staff members? It can't be anybody who's worked at the station in the last 6 months, right?
I don't know of any policy like that. The only requirement is that I believe that they are impartial and that Arlene approves of my selection. If someone is currently working there, they would presumably be an eligible voter and therefore would not be eligible to be local election supervisor. But if they used to work there and are not currently an eligible voter, then I don't see that that would be a conflict. I mean, it could be, but I would have to find out if they were somebody who seemed that they could be impartial. But you can certainly promote it to friends, anybody. Yeah, if you know someone who would be good, sure.
Thank you.
Okay, and this is Bob. I just wanted to insert a note from the bylaws that no staff person, paid or unpaid, can be a local or national election supervisor. I don't believe it has any restriction on listener members from being that, but not staff members. Okay, next was Lydia.
Yes, I was going to recommend posting on idealist.org. Liberty Hill Foundation founded that. It appeals to nonprofit people who are interested in nonprofit work, etc. And it's great. They send you the updates every week, and so a lot of people are on that, and it's international. So I'm sure it's in all of our signal areas. And you
right.
Just go to idealist.org to put our ad there.
Yeah, and I believe it's about $60. So it's modest price.
Yeah.
So maybe Arlene could help arrange that.
I can ask Arlene if she's
super good. Okay. All right. So I was next. Just a couple of other suggestions. There are various listservs connected to Pacifica and individual stations, and if it hasn't already gone out, both official station listservs, but also unofficial, listener listservs and what have you. So it would be good if anyone who knows of those or is on those could just put it out widely. And Terry, did you want to publicly, or not publicly, but officially put a deadline on so people know what, how much longer they have to apply, or how do you want to handle that?
Well, I'm a little reluctant to put a deadline just in case we don't get enough qualified people at some station. The unofficial deadline is 1 week. Next Saturday is when I intend to make my decisions about who I'm going to interview.
Okay, so for now, just use the post you sent earlier. Maybe you could help.
And
us
if people want to put out information, you can urge people to go. I think the Pacifica.org website, the homepage there is the easiest place. If you go there, there's an announcement describing the job, and it's generic for all five stations. So that would be the place to refer people. Or they can go on Craigslist and look under nonprofits in their city.
Okay, so the one on Pacifica is generic for all five stations?
Yes.
Okay, good. All right. Did anyone else want to make a comment or ask a question of Terry about the LES hiring process or about anything else that he's doing? I had another question on a different topic. What is have you been able to make any headway towards starting to prepare the forms for filing nomination papers, and also for, I assume you're going to develop a training module for the LESs?
Yeah, I've worked on that a little bit. The trouble I have currently is I now can access the files at PACELEC, the Yahoo group, but the 2010 files, when I click on them, said they are not present or cannot be found. So I still have not been able to find. I've been able to look at the 2009 reports, but I still have not been able to find any 2010 documents. Such as there's a whole long list of appendices, which are supposed to be samples of the ballot, samples of the information packet to candidates, and it doesn't seem like any of it's actually there. So if anybody actually has the 2010 documents for real, I still need them. So the short answer is that I've got some outlines for what I want for that, but I haven't actually prepared them yet.
Okay. Does anyone on this call have the 2010 documents that Terry asked for?
This is Lydia. I was the candidate, so I should be able to. But I'm not home right now, so I'll look for it and let you know.
Yeah, but I think that what he's referring to goes beyond what candidates received. I think there were certain things that only the election supervisor had, but that were posted, but something got messed up with the posting. So whoever is the person who posted them to our listserv on this call now?
This is Jane. I think that Bill Frozier posted them.
Oh, okay.
Either Bill or Carolyn. Carolyn's on the call. I guess she could speak to whether she did the 2010 document.
Yeah, thank you. I'll have to go look and see if I posted them or not and check and see what the problem is.
Okay.
Thank you, Terry. I will look at that tonight.
But Jane, I have another comment.
Yes, Jane, you're hard to hear if you can adjust your phone.
And also, everybody, I need to get off the phone for just a minute. I have a call waiting. Someone's coming in. I'll
That's
be back.
Fine. Okay, thanks. Go ahead, Jane.
Well, the comment was for Terry, so I'll wait.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what? Maybe while he's off the line, we could go to the update as to what happened on the PNB last night. I'm hoping that he's been advised of that already.
I'm back.
Oh,
my daughter
was quick. Okay. Sorry. Go ahead, Jane.
Okay. Terry, I just wanted to let you know that because WPSW did not make quorum last time, we will actually have all 24 members are up for re-election. You might not be aware of that yet.
Yeah, I realize that.
Okay.
Okay. Anyone else, or can we move on? All right. Thank you, Terry, and we'll now go.
I have a question.
Oh, go ahead, Nancy.
Yes. A former elections captain, a supervisor, local election, can they reapply again for a job?
Yes. There actually is at least one local election supervisor from 2010 who has applied at one station.
I see. And is there any way that we could, maybe later, not on the stream, but contact you?
Yeah, you can send my email, which I'll give members of the committee. You can send me emails individually if you want. Is pacificanes@gmail.com. Pacifica, it looks like Pacificaness.
Okay, pacificaness@gmail.com. Gmail.com. Okay, thank you.
But everybody on this call may not know that I'm going on this family vacation tomorrow morning, so I'm not going to be on email for a week.
Okay, well, you'll definitely need that vacation for what's in store. Okay, so if there's no other questions, let's go on to the next item, which is an update on what happened last night at the PNB meeting concerning the motions that we brought to the full board. So would one of the PNB members like to just very succinctly summarize what was done on our motions?
This is Ken. I would recommend Lydia do that because she walked us through most of the votes.
Okay.
Oh,
Lydia,
okay.
Okay,
I'm not in front of the computer, but the timeline was approved, and it was amended to include the September 1st date that's posted on the website, so that everything is consistent with what Terry has already posted, and that was passed without objection. The cost-cutting measures, the thinner paper, et cetera, were passed with the exception of the opt-in, opt-out.
Maybe you could be more specific as to which passed and which didn't exactly.
Okay, but I'm not in front of a computer, okay, so I can't look at it, but if you can tell me what number 1, 2, and 3 are, then I could tell you what passed. But in any event, so the only thing that was pulled out, as I recall, was the number of words and the opt-in, opt-out. The others were passed without objection, without much objection. I'm not committed to memory in terms of the actual vote on a couple of them. A couple of people did object, but the majority, they passed with a majority vote. And Then what was referred was Alex's motion on electronic voting, which you've already have on the agenda. And as I said, the number of words and opt-in, which are in the same section.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else from the PNB who can add just factually what was passed, what was not passed? Did that cover everything?
Yeah, that was it. And, yeah, that's it.
Okay. All right. So that's where we're at. So there's two motions that have been referred to us. One is a new motion on electronic voting, and the other is our own motion on the whether and how to send printed candidate statements and how many words, et cetera. So that was referred back to us. So we're going to take them up next in order. So number six, electronic voting for 40 minutes. And let's start with the motion that was referred to us, the motion by Alex Steinberg, which what I have is the PNB endorses electronic balloting as a method to be employed in all the LSB elections for 2012. We direct the executive director of Pacifica to work with the national election supervisor to implement electronic balloting in the 2012 election. So is somebody that's been referred to the PNB. So it doesn't actually need to be made or seconded. It comes from the full board for our consideration. So the floor is now open for discussion on that motion. I heard Teresa.
Lydia.
And Lydia. And then we'll take more from there. So, Teresa, go ahead.
Terry, it's great to have you on this call. And I've just from your very succinct analysis of things, it's really has made me greatly relieved. I feel confident that things will go smoothly with you in charge. I would like your opinion, and I appreciate what you've said about the mail-in envelopes and the electronic. I do get several ballots from Sierra Club and different organizations, and I send in the envelopes, but I'm kind of a dinosaur, so I would like at some point to hear a little bit maybe more analysis and your thoughts, and hopefully won't be held against you if we decide to go another way. Thank you.
So, Terry, would you like to address that?
All right. Well, there are several ways that electronic voting can go on. Some of them are available to Pacifica this year and some are not. The one that's not available to Pacifica this year, in my opinion, hold on, I have to put your phones here. The one that's not available to Pacifica this year is the idea of simply sending out emails to your members and telling them how to get online and go online vote, because obviously you don't have emails for enough people. So you have to mail to everybody. And your choice is to either mail just a postcard with a PIN number or a tear-off postcard that they can mail back to request a paper ballot. That's one option. That saves you outgoing postage because relatively few people will request a paper ballot by mail. The other option is to mail a paper ballot to everybody with instructions saying you can mail back this paper ballot or you can go online to vote. And in either case, when people go online to vote at the website, the Election Services Corporation website, there will be a place they can check off if we want to put it on there to say, in the future, don't postal mail me my ballot. Send me my communications by email. But that won't be a huge number of people because that will be a small percentage of the people who voted online, which is a small percentage of your overall membership. So you will not reduce your future postal mailings much by that opt-in scenario. A little bit, but not a lot. The third option is to simply mail everybody a paper ballot and have them mail it back in a business return envelope. And obviously the fourth option is to mail everybody a ballot, paper ballot, and have them put on their own postage, which reduces voter participation. I think that the difference between an electronic vote and a paper ballot with an opt-in to an electronic vote will not be a huge change in voter turnout one way or the other if you provide business return envelope. In other words, I don't think a large number of additional people will vote because they can vote online, but the novelty of it and the convenience of it and the fact that they can look at the full statements of the candidates and jump back and forth and go to the ballot probably will increase voter turnout somewhat. According to Election Services Corporation, in a first year, it's usually less than a 1% increase by introducing a hybrid system with electronic voting. So it's not, you should not consider it the savior for your quorum issue, but it can't hurt quorum. It may just make the difference in a particular case. The costs of providing the internet voting, as I said, are almost a wash in that it saves so much postage of people not mailing back with the business reply envelope. They just scrap the business reply envelope. You've printed it, they don't use it, but that means you don't pay the postage for it coming back. And as for the integrity, I believe that internet voting can never be 100% secure. However, that mainly refers to governmental elections where there are people who have enough money at stake that they're going to bribe people, they're going to hire experts to do denial of service attacks or whatever. In a nonprofit organization, I do not think that internet electronic voting is a serious risk. I think that that it can be done reasonably securely, reasonably confidently. That it's no more risky than doing a hand count paper ballot for a nonprofit organization like this. That does not carry over to a governmental election, I want to be clear. But there are also, a point that I made, there are people who are working very feverishly to try and prevent internet voting for government elections, and some of those people are certainly, you know, Pacifica listeners, and some of those people will say, I don't want to see internet voting spread at all, because if it goes to places like Pacifica, then people will think it's okay, and they'll start pushing it for governmental elections, and that leaves the door open for massive electronic fraud by just a few programmers being bribed, et cetera, et cetera. So there will be probably people, my concern, the reason I ended up advocating not using a hybrid election, not using electronic voting, was my concern that there will be people, whether well-informed or not, who will assert that the election is insecure because of it. I don't think it will be insecure because of it, but I don't really want to have to explain that thousands of times. So I don't object to using internet voting at all. I think it would work. I think it would be secure. I recommend against it just because of the hassle. I guess that summarizes it.
Thank you, Terry. Okay, Lydia was next.
Yes, I think that my concern is we've had Pacifica has changed quite a bit since Terry was previously in the foundation. We've had some significant slates where we didn't have slates in certain stations now. But that aside, is that we have had some questionable, not questionable in that I'm suspicious at all, but in terms of our web-based employee surveys that we've done, with just, let's say, on the PNB, there was one instance, just one of these went awry. It was a different situation. It's like where you got it through email, the form, and then you had to go to the website and click from that. But it was very easy to forward what you received to someone else to ask, oh, how about this question or whatever. So something went awry, and we still don't have clarity on that. And although I don't think it was significant, but it caused a huge furor with just that one form. With a different service at KPFK, again, web-based survey, and I know I received an email with, you know, how you get onto the web-based whatever, and it was addressed individually with a name. That was actually helpful, because then you know if you got the wrong one, and I did. I got one of a male member of the board, but several people did, and many people did not receive one. And so it's not that it's bad, except that it plants the seed of questionable results. And since we have had so many issues arise anyway with these elections, I don't think it's worth it. It's not that I'm fundamentally against it in Pacifica, but the fact we're not a normal nonprofit. I mean, we're not the ACLU or, you know, some other normal nonprofit. We are, we have our slate just like the two parties that are in national elections. So it gives rise to a lot of speculation whether founded or not. So for the same reason, I would object to it. And also, I mean, if we ever go to it, which may be an eventuality, then I would say we have to have a printed confirmation. But the other thing is that in the Nielsen put out something that I downloaded, and I'm driving, so I can't send it to you but right now. But anyway, and it says like 10% of all Internet users anywhere is what makes up the senior population, which is the bulk and the base of Pacifica, and myself included. And so even though there's a growing number of seniors that are starting to learn it, I think that it would seriously affect our quorum issue.
Okay. Who else would like to speak?
That was speaking against it.
Okay.
Carolyn on the stack, please.
Okay, Carolyn, and I heard another voice. Who was that?
Michael Novick.
Michael, okay. All right, Carolyn, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I want to address some of the points that Terry made, but also that other people have made. First of all, I appreciate the fact that you point out it's not the money, that the $1,000 difference is not that significant. But, in fact, the savings down the line, I think, no matter when we start, we have to start. And I think ESC says that it took them maybe 3 years to move Sierra Club from paper to online balloting. And it's not going to happen in 1 year, but at some point you have to begin. So I think ultimately the savings will be significant. So we have to look not just for this year, but for the future. About future mailings, I think that we have to say that we have to campaign positively. We cannot just hope and keep our fingers crossed that people will respond. We have to be very assertive and point out on the air, on our new websites at every station, and in individual mailings, whether they're thank yous for premiums or they are fundraising letters sent out, we have to really sell voting and participation. And I think it wasn't just Les Radke, but he was the most wonderful example of how elections really should be used to bring people in to Pacifica. This is the only radio station, I believe, in the country whose governance is elected. This is an amazing thing. People really need to be sold that. That's what we're about. Third point I wanted to make was that there is an attempt to suppress voter participation, and that one way of doing that actually is to kill participation by making elections seem to be unsafe and so on. I think that electronic voting increases voter participation. Some people don't want that. They like having the slate mailers and being able to control the people that they know are reading these mailers and so on. So I think that I'm worried about the fact that not encouraging electronic balloting will actually end up suppressing the vote, which is what some people probably do not want for various reasons. The point that Lydia made about the employee survey that went awry, that was unfortunate. I think it was a result of bad research, if I may, on the part of people who chose that particular survey vehicle, which is popular and open and easily hacked. And a little bit of research would have pointed out that that was a very unstable choice and a really bad choice to use for personnel issues. It was not clear. It was easily hackable. And, in fact, something went wrong there. We don't have that problem. I think the Election Services Corporation has given us an awful lot of data and will give us more if we ask. what they do to make sure that this election is not hacked. And as Terry pointed out, this is not a big issue for nonprofits generally, even for Pacifica, which is very sensitive. But
Bob, excuse me, can you put me on the stack, please?
Who is that?
Andrea.
Okay, Andrea. And folks, please try not to interrupt each other when speaking. But go ahead, finish up, Carolyn.
Thank you. I want to think that we have to address that question, which was unfortunate, but again, it was a result of not great research and so on, and should not be connected at all to the kind of security measures that Election Services has used and will use for us to make sure that we are not hacked. They hire people to do this, to try to hack in, to report weaknesses, to correct any that are found immediately. And I believe their record is really sterling. So I think we can make a positive out of that and out of what was a negative incident in our own history. Okay, I think that's all for now. Thank you.
Okay. Michael?
I think we need to move towards it. I have put up a substitute motion, which I sent to the Elections Committee list just a couple of minutes ago, basically suggesting that we start with a pilot, as we discussed in the when we were talking to the candidates for the company, the ECS, the ESC, and the other one, the idea of doing a pilot at a couple of staff elections to give ourselves some experience with it before jumping whole hog into the entire election conducted electronically. I think that in general we do not have a lot of experience with electronic communication with our listeners. We don't have a lot of interactivity on at least the KPFK website. We have started in the last few months sending out an electronic sort of email blast to some listeners, and I think that if we start with a pilot at a couple of stations with the staff elections, which are much smaller, it'll give us a little bit of experience that we can then use as a practical basis to discuss this further in the future. So that was the gist of my motion. Let me see if I can find the exact text of what I'm proposing. So my substitute motion is the PNB endorses an opt-in for electronic balloting to be used as a method of voting on a pilot basis for two staff elections for the LSB for 2012. We direct ED to work with the National Election Supervisors to implement hybrid balloting, paper, or optional e-voting for staff members at two stations of the NES choosing. The 2012 election, we will use the results of the pilot to help ascertain the viability of an electronic voting option more generally in future LSB elections. That will be a substitute for the motion that Carol sent us from Alex.
Okay, so that's we have a motion and a substitute motion on the floor. Okay, who else would like to speak?
Can I stack a point of information on that?
Yes, go ahead.
Am I on the stack?
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot Andrea. Forgive me.
Yeah.
But a point of information takes precedence, and then I'll get to you, Andrea. Go ahead.
Just to get how much do we have to invest financially to run that pilot project? Terry might be able to answer.
Terry? I can tell you something about that. If you do it on a small scale like that, you do not get the savings of postage of people not sending back a business reply envelope. So that does cost more money, because whether they set up for one or two elections or for the whole shebang is not a huge difference of amount of work for them, because they're sort of automated, so they switch over all the data that goes onto their paper ballot, just goes up on their website. So whether it's one or two elections or all 10 elections, I don't think, from what I understand, it would make much difference. It'd be an extra $5,000. To do the pilot, whereas if you did it for all the stations, it would be cheaper. So doing the pilot costs $5,000 more than doing it for all 10 stations, if you understand why, because you're not saving the postage.
Thank you.
Okay, Andrea.
I may have missed the point earlier. When you do electronic balloting. Could someone tell me, do you get a confirmation number?
Terry, do you want to answer that?
How does it work?
There's two ways that it can be done. Normally what happens in an organization that wants to have a secret ballot is people get a PIN number, like a 10-digit PIN number is mailed to them through the post office. It would be either with their paper ballot or you could put it on a postcard. With that PIN number, they go to a particular web, they type in a particular web address and go to the Election Services Corporation Election Secure website. They enter their PIN and their member ID number. They need those two numbers. The member ID number would also be in the mailing. And then they would vote. They would then show them, is this how you intended to vote? They would say, confirm it, and it would go and say, thank you for your vote. They would not then receive any document that showed how they vote, because the idea is if you provide someone with a receipt showing how they voted, that opens the door. That's not a secret election. That opens the door to people selling their vote and so on. So the general procedure, like in any governmental election, you never get a receipt showing how you voted, because that opens the door for buying votes or people coercion and so on. The actual PIN number, we can identify that actual PIN number was counted and that ballot was received by Election Services Corporation and that it was counted, but the individual voter won't have any proof that their individual vote was counted. Does that answer your question? And that's if you want a secret ballot election. If you don't care about a secret ballot election, you can give everybody a receipt and there's no secrecy, but everybody knows that their vote was counted.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and just a follow-up. So, Terry, just so everyone's clear, this has nothing to do with email. Is that right? This is a
correct. No one
website.
Needs to use any email. There's no email involved with this procedure at all. Other than if we provide them with a list of emails and we choose to do it that way, they for a certain fee will do an email blast reminding people to vote. But that's they could do that email blast even if there's no internet voting. They could do the email blast urging people to send in their paper ballot. So that's a completely separate issue.
Okay. All right. Who else would like to speak on the two on the main motion?
May I have one more question?
Yes. Go ahead.
The PIN number. Let me understand this. If I would create my own PIN number.
No, they would. Each ballot will have printed on it or on the back.
Okay.
One year is on, but they assign a random 10-digit number.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Carolyn, on the stack, please.
Oh, Ken, to the stack on the motions.
Okay. Ken hasn't spoken on the motion, so you go ahead. You go first.
Regarding the substitute motion, which is well-intended and sounds like a bright idea, it will cost $5,000 to run the pilot project on, even if we ran it for the five staff elections. And as Terry just explained the procedures, it's rather more complicated than just getting a list of candidates in the mail, which is going to be a limited list for staff, and then filling out a ballot and putting it in a prepaid envelope and returning it, rather than getting a PIN number and a user number in the mail and then holding on to that, getting on the internet and filling out the form and going through the interface and so forth. It requires a greater degree of attention and dedication and participation, which might occur in a staff election or not, but I'm glad he explained that. I just wanted to endorse everything that Terry said in terms of my background in IT and election protection. Exactly everything he said is correct, and I concur with what he's saying. It isn't worth getting into the politically correct fights over whether or not electronic voting is, if it's advisable to encourage it or try to prevent it. It's absolutely hackable. Go in and Google hacked elections and read about events that happened yesterday and last week and the week before of major government systems that keep getting hacked, and Donald Duck gets elected president and so forth. So just don't go through illusions of something you've seen from Apple or something that technology is flawless. So I wanted to say I have to, even though I think it's Michael's proposal is more reasonable, I'd have to go with not endorsing the substitute or the original motion because it's just too expensive. And the other thing is, the cost is the last thing I want to say. Whatever the cost of our elections are, if we can just increase our listenership and run more efficiently, we can easily pay for these elections, as we have in the past, rather than having to scrape by because of our destitute finances. So I just think we should stick with the known printed ballots as we have in the past. We are currently using computer technology to scan the ballots and count them up and run the FTV analysis. So we are using computers right now. Shh, don't tell anybody. But I don't think we want to go to electronic or internet voting. It's too much. It's too controversial. It's too complex. It's going to, I don't know. Terry says it might increase participation, but again, there's a backlash of the community that thinks it's problematic. So I just wanted to say that. The main thing I wanted to say is I concur with everything Terry says.
Okay. Marilyn,
Fred on the stack.
I'm sorry, who was that?
Fred. Could I be on the stack,
Fred,
too?
Okay.
And Michael asked me to get back on the stack.
Right. So Carolyn, Fred, and then Michael.
Okay, thank you. Just a brief comment with response to the suggestion that we run staff sample staff elections. The staff elections I would propose, as Terry will find out if he hasn't already, might be the worst place to start because the lists are so unreliable. There is no method in place yet for determining with reasonable security, as far as I can tell, who is staff and who is not. Paid staff is easy. They get a check. Volunteers, however, are always a source of problems, contention, and that would be exacerbated if they were used as a test for this. So I'm against running a test, not just because it would cost more than running the actual thing, but I think that whatever system we set up would be a test, and if we did it at all five stations, we'd have some data to compare. So I would like to see perhaps even the test be to not use electronic balloting for staff simply because staff lists are so hard to validate. That's going to be a real problem for any supervisor. So I would urge us not to consider that, and if we're going to do a sample or an example, to use the listeners for sure. But I'm in favor of doing the entire all 10 elections as a hybrid and just see what happens. We don't have much of a choice, I feel, in terms of moving ahead with this.
Okay, Fred, and then I'm going to call on myself. Go ahead, Fred.
Thank you. I also wanted to say that I concur with Ken. Everything that Terry has said has been truthful and correct as far as I can tell. By the way, I voted electronically in the first KPFA election. I think it was in 2001. And voting electronically over the Internet is easy to do, but I have absolutely zero trust where my vote was counted or not. So I'm very much against trying to go vote electronically this year. And the fact that a test election is going to cost $5,000, I think it does. Right now, money is too tight for us to do that. Thank you.